Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Saints. This is Tafwe Naioni, and you are listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I am switching it up a little bit today. I'm doing a show on Sunday as opposed to Saturday, but I'm entitled to do that, and I thank you for listening in. Today I'd like to talk to you about Jude 1:20. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Before we get into the lesson today, I'd like to give out the number for guests to call in. If you'd like to, the number is 646-716-5180, and the chat room is open as well. So I do hope you have an opportunity to join me either in the chat room or to call in. What is our individual responsibility in developing our faith walk once the church service is over? What should we be doing throughout the week? Well, Jude 1:20 tells us exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We are to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Notice what that scripture didn't say. It did not say, go to church and get spoon-fed once or twice a week, and then go about your merry way until it's time to do it all over again. What is that scripture saying to us? What does it mean to build yourself up? Well, if you are building yourself up, first of all, you're making some kind of progress in your life. You're rising higher and higher. So take a quick assessment of your life over the last year and determine if you've progressed from where you were this time last year. What has improved in your life, spiritually, physically, economically, or whatever? Has your spiritual progress resulted in you winning a lost soul for Christ? Has your spiritual progress resulted in more of the anointing of God being evident in your life? Have you overcome some addiction, regardless of what it may be to? Have you overcome it as a result of the power of God operating in your life? Are you healthier, more physically fit? Are you exercising more than you did last year? Has your income or your assets increased since last year? Or are you at the same place you were last year? Well, if you are, that's okay too. You know, as long as we have breath in our body, we still have another chance to get it right. One way to begin to build yourself up is by renouncing, you know, those bosom sins that we don't want to let go of. You know, the sins that are most dearest to our hearts. Yeah, well, you know, we got to get rid of those. And we know what those sins are. We have to trample those sins under our feet. And it takes courage and resolution to do that. But the question is, are you ready to give up those open sins as well as the secret sins? When the Spirit of God convicts us of a sin, our mind and our flesh, you know, the little small talk that goes on, it'll try to convince us to spare it, that it's just a little sin. It'll try to make all kinds of justification for keeping that sin in our lives. But when we don't give in to that, then our flesh will go into withdrawals and begin to roar and shriek and crave that thing that, you know, that thing that we're trying to give up. We'll continue to crave it strongly, and if we're not careful, we'll be tempted to pick it up and continue in that sin. And yes, it's going to be conflict, and it's going to be wrestling going on between our spirit and our mind and our soul and our flesh, and sometimes we may even convulse the spirit because of that thing, whatever that sin is. That thing was so comfortable living inside of us, being a part of us, and now we want to sweep it out of our lives. Well, it's not going to give up that territory so easily, the territory that it occupied for so long, in some cases for years. And I'd like to thank the Virtuous One for joining me tonight on the show. I appreciate your presence in the chat room tonight. And feel free to call in also if you'd like to add a comment. She's got a dynamic program on Blog Talk Radio as well. I hope you get a chance to listen to her. But regardless of how painful it is to let go or how attached we are to that sin, that situation, we've got to endure. We have to stick to that fight. Remember, the word tells us, if we resist, that temptation will flee. But that's the key. We have to resist. We have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Another way that we build ourselves up is by not conforming to the world and instead conform our lives to Christ, the Anointed One. Don't compromise yourself with the corruption of this society. Romans 12:2 tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. And how do we prove that? How do we prove what the acceptable and perfect will of God is if we look and act and sound just like the unsaved world? We have to develop our faith, not our fake. The greatest thing that we can do in life is to strive to know God and to keep His laws. The purpose of spiritual discipline is the total transformation of a person with the intent of replacing old destructive habits of thought with new life-giving habits. The mind is renewed by applying it to those things that will transform it. Like thinking on those things that are outlined in Philippians 4:8, for example, things that are true, things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Those are the things that we are supposed to be thinking on in every area of our lives. That's what we use to measure how successful we are in being transformed into the creatures of Christ that He wants us to be. Are we honest in our dealings with other people? Do we surround ourselves with things that are lovely, of good report? Are we acting virtuous in our behavior? Is what we doing glorifying God? Those are questions that only you can answer for yourselves. Many Christians remain in bondage. They may be faithful in church attendance and earnest in fulfilling their religious duties, and they still are not changed. And I'm not just talking about, you know, those people who are just going through the mere religious acts, you know, just performing, doing all the right things and saying and behaving the right way. But I'm talking about those people who are genuinely seeking to worship and obey the Master. They sing the praises, the songs with gusto. They pray in the Spirit. They live obediently or as obediently as they possibly can or know how. And they even receive, some of them even receive divine visions and revelations. But yet, their lives remain unchanged. Why? Because they have not taken up one of the most central ways that God uses to change us, and that is through study. Christ made it unmistakably clear in John 8:32 that the knowledge of truth will set us free. Not feeling good, not listening to feel-good services, not ecstatic experiences that will not free us, and not, I hear people say, well, I'm high on Jesus. Well, getting high on Jesus will not free you. Without knowledge of truth, we will not be free. So how do we get free? 2 Timothy 2:15, it tells us. It tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we have to look at what the implication is of study. what exactly is he saying? What is study? I mean, we hear that word all the time, but do we really, really understand what it's saying to us? Study, what is study? It is a specific kind of experience in which, through careful attention to reality, the mind is enabled to move in a certain direction. The mind will always take on an order conforming to the order upon which it concentrates. In other words, if you're always looking at bad news, everything that you do is in a negative environment, that's what you're going to become. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Whatever you keep before your eyes, that's what you become. So let's say when you read a book, you see it, you feel it, you understand it, and you draw a conclusion from it. As we do, our thought processes take on an order conforming to the order in which the book, you know, dictates. So when this is done with concentration, perception, and repetition, ingrained habits of thoughts are formed. And this is demonstrated numerous times throughout the Bible. And I'm specifically reminded of the incident with Jacob. His name before God changed it was the trickster is what it meant. And he tricked his brother Esau out of his heritage. And subsequently, when Jacob had to leave his hometown, he went to stay with his mother's relative, and he fell in love with Rachel. So Rachel's father, Laban, tricked him into marrying the sister. And so and Jacob ended up serving all these years to win Rachel's hand in marriage. So one of the things that he devised after all these years, he had all these cattle, all these sheep, and all these lambs. And so Laban said, "Well, okay, I'll let you go free, and I'll take all of the animals that are not speckled, they're not spotted or whatever, and you work for me in about another year, and these are your animals. Or you take all the plain ones, and I'll take all the spotted ones. And if I see any spotted ones in your land or whatever, then I know that you stole them from me," or whatever the case was. So Jacob, what he did, actually, he had the speckled ones. So he peeled, like, some twigs off of a leaf, and he made this pattern of design. And he put it in a trough where these animals would go to eat and to mate. So whenever the animals went to eat and mate, all they saw before their eyes was either a spotted or a speckled pattern. And so after a certain amount of time, when they conceived, their offsprings were speckled or spotted, whichever way the pattern went. And so that's sort of what this is saying here. Whatever we keep before our eyes, that's what we become. That's what our mind accepts, and that's the way our mind conforms to whatever that thought is that's ingrained in us. And sometimes habits get so ingrained, it's hard for us to break free from that. The Old Testament instructed the Israelites to write the laws on the gates and the doorposts and bind them on their wrists, so that they shall be like a frontlet between their eyes, and that's in Deuteronomy 11:18. But the purpose of this instruction was to direct the mind repeatedly and regularly towards certain modes of thought about God and human relationships. And, of course, the New Testament replaced that law it replaces the laws that were written on a doorpost with the laws that are now written on our hearts that leads us to Christ, who is our ever-present and inward teacher. So what we study determines the kinds of habits that are formed, which is why Paul urges us in Philippians 4:8 to focus on those things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, and gracious. Because whether we realize it or not, we're studying when we watch TV. We're studying when we're listening to certain music. We're studying subconsciously when we're around certain people doing certain things that we know we shouldn't be doing. So our mind is saying, well, it's okay to do this. It's okay to be this way. It's okay to think this way, because that's what we're constantly putting in there. And if we don't change what we put in our minds and keep before our eyes, then, you know, we're not going to be fit vessels for the master's use. And that's what this whole thing is about. We're put on this earth to be yielded vessels to serve the kingdom of God and to win lost souls over to Christ. And one illustration that I like to use all the time, and people can relate to this more so because it's something real to them, and that's sports. You know, you have one team, you have God's team, and then you have the other team. So we're on God's team, and we're trying to get people onto his team from the other team. But we can't do that if we're playing around, you know, in their yard, playing their games, you know, and then talking about, well, we want you to come over here, but we're having fun over here with you. You know, that's a contradiction. It's not going to work. So I have a few minutes left, and I'd like to, again, give out the phone number if you want to call in. The number is 646-716-5180. And I would also like to take an opportunity to extend to those who don't know the Lord as their personal Savior and haven't yet accepted him as their Savior. If you haven't accepted the Lord as your Savior, Romans 10:9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. It's painless. You don't have to go through any religious acts or gyrations or jump through any hoops. It's just simply believing in your heart that God raised his son from the dead. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Then you are saved. You're saved from a society that is filled with sins. So if you've made that confession, I'd like to hear from you and give you a gift. So I ask you to contact me. Send me an email. Let me know that you've accepted Christ as your Savior this day, and I want to send you a gift. And if you need a Bible, let me know that as well, and I will send you a Bible. You can email me at womeninthelord@yahoo.com. So I'm just covering one element of what Jude 20 is talking about, building ourselves up. And that's one thing about studying the Word of God. And that's the difference between studying and just reading the Bible. Because when you study the Word of God, you have to break that thing down. You have to read it and study it line by line and precept upon precept. That one scripture is powerful, and it has two or three different concepts in it. But if you just read it, you'll miss what it's really saying. And that's how the Holy Spirit ministers to us. The Holy Spirit ministers to us through the time that we spend in the Word of God, studying the Word of God. If you've never read the Bible before, then of course you want to pick it up and you want to read it to try to get a good comprehension and a good feel for, you know, what it's saying and the implications that it has on your life. But then once you've done that, once you've gotten that foundation and you've gotten into the habit of reading it, you want to start tearing that thing up and breaking it down so you can really understand it. And then once you do that, you can start applying it to your life. And I am a living testimony of that. I know the power of studying the Word of God, and that's how God reveals himself through us. The Holy Spirit truly does minister and talk to your spirit through the time that you put into studying his Word. You can't have a relationship, any kind of relationship, unless you spend time developing that relationship. And the only way that you're going to get to know God and who he is and adopt his attributes is to spend time studying his Word so that his spirit can minister to his spirit that's inside of you. So I look forward to continuing this topic because it's so much more to be said from this one. And Jude is the shortest book in the Bible. Actually, it's just that one chapter. But it's powerful. And so I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to share this revelation with you. And I have about 10 minutes left. Let me spend some time in a chat room because my sister here is, how are you? Okay, this is nice. Okay, and she's, James 5:7 is one of the scriptures that she has quoted up here. And let me see what James 5:7, I don't know it offhand, but I can get it real quick and we can read that scripture. Since she put it up there, I'm going to receive that as coming from the Holy Spirit, and that word needs to be spoken. So James 5:7 is, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. And I thank you so much for that word. So I want to leave you with this thought from Ralph Waldo Emerson's Self-Reliance. And it goes, but your isolation must not be mechanical, but spiritual. That is, it must be elevation. At times, the whole world seems to be in conspiracy to inopportune you with empathetic trifles, friends, client, child, sickness, fear, want, charity, all knock at once at thy closed door and say, come out unto us, do not spill thy soul, do not all descend, keep thy state, stay at home in thy own heaven, come not for a moment into their facts, into their hubbard of conflicting appearances, but let in the light of thy law on their confusion. That is powerful. That is so powerful and so true today. When we determine to spend time in the Word of God, to spend time with God, so many things are going to come up to distract us, to take our mind and our focus off of developing and building and enhancing our relationship with God. But we have to close all that stuff out. We have to sometimes turn off the television, turn off the telephone, just go into solitude, that place of solitude and meditation, and just devote that time to building up and developing that relationship with God. We've got to encourage ourselves, because if we don't, nobody else will. We can't rely on just a pastor and church attendance once or twice a week to do that for us. If we're not putting in the time in our spare time, if we're not making time deliberately to spend with the Lord, to build ourselves up so that we can be used mightily of him, then what is the purpose? What is the point? That's what this is about. That's what you want to do. Make the time. Make the time. We spend 8 hours a day on a job. We get an hour for lunch. Take a half of that, a half hour of that hour to spend, to go somewhere quiet and read your Bible. Put on your iPod, listen to some music on your iPod. Download the Bible on your iPod and listen to that while you're walking to and from work or driving in your car. Put on some spiritual music. We have to develop those habits. Instead of putting on some rock and roll, put on a spiritual tape. Put on something that's going to minister and speak to the Spirit of God. I use this analogy a lot with people also. The seed, the Spirit of God that's in us, is like a little plant. And if what happens to a plant if you don't water it? It's going to wither up and die. And the same thing with the Spirit of God that's inside of us. And the way we water that is with the Word of God. And we have to always be mindful of his presence and always, in all our ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct our path. So that is going to do it for the show tonight. I thank you so much for spending time with me, and I appreciate your presence in the chat room, my sister, Virtuous Praise. I'd like to give a shout out to her, and I don't have her. Can you give me your address? Can you give me your blog talk address so I can give it out to the listeners to tune into your show? Actually, I was listening to her show today, and she had a very good topic that she was talking about. So thank you so much for joining me today in the chat. I am your your host, Tafwe Naioni, and you're listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio. Have a blessed and prosperous week this week, and I look forward to hearing some success stories, some testimonies next week. Stay blessed in the Lord, and remember...
How many people encouraged tonight?